Thank you, Stevensons. I believe there's some Ingles in there. I appreciate the ministry of music this evening. I appreciate the song service. Mrs. Stevenson. I want to welcome you this evening to this, the house of the Lord, for this service that is about to begin. This would be one of my favorite houses of the Lord, places to worship. I love it on these grounds. I love this tabernacle. And I love being with the people who bring that good, sweet spirit to these grounds. I believe these grounds have been yearning for people to be walking on them the last 3 or 4 weeks. Because for every year, way before I was alive, there was good saints bringing that good spirit to this earth and these grounds. So I, for one, am glad that we are here to be able to come and to worship our Heavenly Father and to come in unity, even if it is only for a week, to maybe find a piece of that one heart and one mind. And I sadly say for maybe a week, because we know it should be longer. And we know that if we would be that people to go from here, that maybe it could be more. But I won't preach to you tonight. Forgive me. I'll go ahead and introduce the men on the roster. On your left, we have Darren Cunningham from the Northeast Des Moines, Iowa Restoration Branch. Is that right? Okay. Needing no introduction would be from your branch, Buckner Bill Ormsby. And then from the South Chrysler branch, we have Dave Johnson on the far right. And I'm Jeff Shrunk from the Atherton Restoration Branch. My dad would be a little displeased with me because he believes when we come to a camp, we set aside all our branches and congregations. So maybe you guys can ask him later more about their branch and everything. But we know at this time we are a unified people serving our Heavenly Father with no names, no distinctions. Just the people wanting and willing to come before our Heavenly Father to offer our praise and our worship unto Him. For a scripture thought, I wanted to turn to Alma chapter 10, verse 27. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on His holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into His rest. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down His wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. We will continue our service in the singing of hymn number 3, Precious Name, hymn number 3. Thank you.
Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the sanctuary that you have given us to allow us to come out of the world to this sacred ground so that we might be able to hear thy word. Lord, we pray that you would send your ministering angels to surround us and to touch our hearts and to soften them and forgive us of our sins, that we may hear those words that would change our lives and give us the direction that we need to go. Lord, I pray that your Heavenly Spirit might rest upon my brother Bill, that you would give him those words that you would have us to hear and to be able to make those changes. And these things I pray in your Son's most holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
I have two scriptures for you to consider tonight for that call to worship. The first one is found in the first book of Peter, 5th chapter, starting with the 4th verse. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Then from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Come thou fount of
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this evening. And I thank you for your song of praise that has asked for that tender spirit to be among us this night. We truly have every reason to lift up our voices in praise to our God, not only for this beautiful day that He has provided for us, and that refreshing breeze that has been off the lake ever since this morning service, and for just this opportunity to meet together under this roof once again in this place. If my people will humble themselves, turning from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. And if ever there has been a time for this land to be healed, it is certainly now. The theme for this evening is, humble yourselves before me, having faith unto repentance. We have supposed to have come here this day with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, asking in that depths of humility for God's forgiveness. One of His greatest gifts to us is that gift of forgiveness. As we plead our case before Him in the courts of glory, the best example of being humble that I could possibly present before you this evening would be to have one of your little children come up here and stand before you in our midst and pray that prayer of faith. I don't know how many of you were in the lunch line this afternoon, and that question went out, who would like to offer that prayer blessing over the food? And immediately, Harper Richmond raised his hand. And those of us that were near enough to hear that prayer, that special prayer of humility, not only asking God to bless the food, but to bless you, to bless each of you here at this reunion, this day, that was part of the prayer that I heard him speak. Very eloquent, very sincere, very humble in his approach. Having been taught by righteous parents, just as Jesus called that child up into the midst of his disciples when they were disputing who was the greatest among them. Who was the greatest among them? He called that child up in their midst, and these are the words that he spoke to them. And reading from Matthew, the 18th chapter, we read these words of Christ speaking to his disciples on that occasion. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Take heed. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. We have to be very careful not to despise when these little ones or cause them to be offended. Because their guardian angels, it tells me here in this scripture, scripture 10 of Matthew 18, that their guardian angels do always behold the face of the Father. And they plead their case, watching over them and bringing them along life's journey. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost and to call sinners to repentance. But these little ones have no need of repentance, and I will save them. I will save them. Except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. King Benjamin's last proclamation to his people before his death. We find this account in the book of Mosiah. And he was given this instruction through that visitation of an angel. All of this exhortation, there's several chapters that he spoke to his people, reminding them also the need of repentance. And he spoke of those qualities that these little children have. I'd like to read that account in Mosiah, first chapter, starting with the 119th verse. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if again, that two-letter word, that big two-letter word, if, but if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child. These five qualities now that he speaks of that little child. Submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord sees fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. These five qualities are always there present in the life of our children. We just need to encourage these qualities out in them. Certainly submissive, willing to abide in the teachings of their parents. Meek, having a truly tender heart. Humble, not selfish, willing to share. Not knowing what it is to have pride. Patient. When I think of my children and being patient in waiting for my words of praise to them for what they have accomplished, whether it be in a picture that they have drawn or something that they have put together and made, patient in waiting for our words of praise. Full of love, kind, considerate, showing affection. I'm always thrilled to see those pictures of those little ones embracing one another, kissing them. So aware of that love that's within themselves and wanting to show that affection. And willing to submit to that which the parents feels is best for them. And reading two verses further there in the book of Mosiah, first chapter, And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord Omnipotent. None shall be found blameless before God, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord. Where do we stand? I would ask you, where do you stand this day in the sight of God? Have you come with a humbled heart, that broken heart and a contrite spirit, asking God to forgive you? Communion is only a week away. And we're told before that we partake of that communion, if there's any problem, anything, ought, as the scriptures say, if we have any ought against anybody or anybody has any ought against us, that we have offended them, we are to go to them and ask for their forgiveness and try to make reconciliation before we partake of that communion. There's a serious effect if we don't do that. We may even be drinking damnation to our own souls, or those sins that we have committed, and we're not willing to lay them down and separate ourselves from them. You know personally what they are in your life. I know what they are in my life. And Satan does seek to devour all of God's children. I know how hard it is to become clean before him. But this is his wish for you this week, that we might be made clean through the blood of the Lamb. Have we truly been converted? You know, Christ, after he shared that communion with his disciples, shortly thereafter he was telling them that he must be taken up. You remember what Peter was saying to him? Lord, I'll follow you into prison. I'll even follow you unto death. And we know what Christ told him. Before the cock would crow that morning, that Peter would deny him three times. Have we denied our Christ? Are we truly fit for the kingdom? Have we truly been converted? Christ's response to Peter was, Peter, after you have been converted, convert your brethren. This is your job, my job, to convert our family, convert all our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. This is what God is speaking to us today. To be converted, purged of all our sins, to truly come to him in that repentant attitude, asking for his holy forgiveness, that we might have that spirit of revelation and discernment. Jesus truly wants to heal us through our conversion. And I've come to the conclusion that to be converted requires two things. And you can guess what they are, of course. First one is to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And then the second one is to love our neighbor as ourself. To love God with all that we have, all that we possess, all the praise and honor and glory that we can possibly give Him, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. This is what it's going to take to be truly converted. That the Lord may heal us. God is ready to heal this land. I know He's ready to heal this land. If it is our wish to be healed, to be washed clean in the blood of Christ, to be purified, to be sanctified, holding firm to that precious promise, that greatest of all gifts, that gift of eternal life. That's God's promise to you and to me, even this night. That greatest of all gifts, that gift of eternal life. Scriptures tell us it's much better for us to humble ourselves before we are forced to be humble. Before these afflictions of the world heap themselves upon us and we're forced to bow the knee and ask God to forgive us. It's much better for us to humble ourselves before that event than to be forced to be humbled. This desolating scourge, this desolating sickness that is upon us, we have all been changed by it. But it's God's calling to you and to me to repent. He's calling this nation and this world to repent. I was thinking about using that scripture that was used this morning by our brother Kaufman. It's found in Mark, the 7th chapter, starting with the 20th verse. Now, I believe I'll read it to you. For these are the things that are in our midst. Some of these things are in our very midst. For from within, out of the hearts of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. And these evil things come from within and defile the man. Are we not willing to separate ourselves completely from them? The Lord truly is calling us to that lowly heart, that we might bend that knee and offer our heart before him in true repentance, that we might be cleaned, that we truly might become that pure people that he said that he will raise up if he cannot find one. If he cannot find a pure people before Zion is established, he will raise a pure people up. That we must become pure people, prepared and ready to lift the warning voice, ready to share in the good news of the gospel, that which is that gift, that richest of all gifts, that gift of eternal life. Prepared and ready to help establish that holy city, even Zion. Heaven is at hand. Have you ever really thought much about that? Heaven is at hand. We have no guarantee that we'll be here tomorrow. No guarantee that we'll be on this earth another year from now, 2 years, whatever. God knows. God knows when you individually have fulfilled that purpose that you have been created to. We all have been created in the beginning, I truly believe, with a definite purpose to complete on this side of heaven. And not before that time will you be taken. But we don't know in what hour or what day that we have to meet our Maker in those courts of glory and be judged for our works. My daughter Andrea was just 2 months away from her 21st birthday. And she was killed in an automobile accident. She was a good girl. She loved her God. She was faithful. She showed her love to her parents, to her family and her friends. And I believe that she fulfilled that purpose that she was created to. And she was taken home. We do not know when that day will be for us, but heaven certainly is at hand for all of us. We have been fasting and praying these last 40 days. I know that many of you have been doing that. Buckner has asked that the whole congregation be fasting and praying for that 40-day prior to reunion, that God's Holy Spirit might be among us. And I'm sure the Lord wishes to walk hand in hand with each of you on the grounds this week, lifting us up higher to that higher plane, sharing his divine love with all of us, encouraging us to take up our cross and follow him, and denying ourselves of all unrighteousness and every worldly lust. I'm sure this is God's desire for us all this week, that we take up our cross and follow our Lord and deny ourselves of all unrighteousness and every worldly lust, that truly we might have a taste or a glimpse of that Zion that we so longingly look forward to. that city of Enoch, that we might become of one heart and of one mind and dwell in righteousness and have no poor among us. That promise of Zion I'm truly looking forward to. That new Jerusalem, that land of peace, that city of refuge, that place of safety, where the glory of the Lord shall reign supreme. I'm looking forward to that day with great anticipation, not only for the loss of my daughter, but also the loss of my wife several years ago to ovarian cancer. And don't you know I'm looking forward to that reunion so much, as I'm sure that you are, for those loved ones that you have lost along life's journey. This is the promise to us this day, that we will be with them once again in eternity. Reading from the book of Isaiah, a very familiar passage of Scripture, of that which will be in this land of Zion one day. And reading from the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, starting with the 4th verse, we read these words: "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." We know that prior to his coming, the wicked will be consumed. We never want to die in our sins, to be cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where our names might be blotted out from that record. We have to humble ourselves in that true repentance and live that righteous life, even in the name of Jesus Christ. "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Can you just imagine that picture? That little child leading those animals, that bear and that lion, that leopard, playing with them there in Zion. "And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp." Now that asp is a poisonous snake. The child will play on its hole, its hiding place, its comfort zone. "And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den," which is defined as a deadly serpent. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea." That 1,000-year reign with Christ is something I'm sure that we're all looking forward to. And I'm sure that it'll be like the Garden of Eden, where there is no hurt or no destruction there in that place. No rot, no decay, I believe the flowers will be in their glory always there in that scene as I picture it there in Zion. He said he's going to gather in from all his creation that beauty that we can behold in that place, where the lion will lie down with the lamb, where there shall be no hurt nor destroy in all his holy mountain, where there will be perfect peace, perfect love, perfect joy, a state of rest for the earth. The scriptures tell us that the earth groaneth. Have you ever considered that? The earth groaneth because of iniquity, because of abominations, because of the pollution of man. The earth is looking forward to that rest that has been promised it. I'd like to read to you now some of my favorite scriptures, because you know how much I'm looking forward to that reunion there with Enoch City coming down from heaven. And these are the words we find in the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis, starting with the 70th verse. "And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine own elect from the four quarters of the earth unto a place which I shall prepare." A place which I shall prepare. This was Christ speaking to Enoch. Christ is going to prepare this land of Zion. We are to be helpers in establishing that city. "That my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming, for there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. And the Lord said unto Enoch, Then shalt thou and all thy city meet them there, and we will receive them into our bosom. And they shall see us, and we will fall upon their necks. And they shall fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. And there shall be mine abode, and it shall be Zion, which shall come forth out of all the creations which I made, and for the space of 1,000 years shall the earth rest." That time of reunion with our Lord, to be wrapped up in His arms of love. Those many out-of-body experiences that have gone to heaven for a short period of time and have been embraced in His love, come back and tell us that there's no earthly words to compare to that holy love that Jesus Christ has for you and for me in that place. What a joy it will be to meet Him as our Savior and as our Lord. Be reunited even with the ancient ones. Have you ever considered visiting with Adam? I've often thought kiddingly I might challenge him, because I have to work by the sweat of my brow, that this is what happened because of his choice that he made. But seriously, to visit with some of these ancient ones, they're in a course of glory. What a special time this will be. What a beautiful place this will be. You see, we were created spiritually in the beginning. All of that has been removed from our memory. But we were all created before there were any man upon this earth, created spiritually. I see Steve is telling me that my time is about up. He keeps looking at his watch. So I'd like to close but I would like to challenge you, each one, that this certainly is a time for you to humble yourself in true repentance, bowing the knee and offering that prayer that God might forgive you and cleanse you as a people, that the Lord might walk hand in hand with you the rest of your life, is my prayer in Jesus' name.
Well, thank you, Bill, for your thoughts this night. We've been challenged a couple times today. Cloyce made the remark this morning, when we follow all his commandments and look up, and I'm paraphrasing, Zion will come down. And I believe if we're not bowing the knee, if we're not coming before him with that repentance and that meekness, how can we follow all his commandments? I wanted to thank Haley for playing, also the Stevensons and the Ingalls again for their ministry and music all today, where there was much ministry given. We will have a closing hymn. Afterward, benediction will be given by our brother Dave Johnson. And after that, we will sit back down so that Justin can give us our announcements. We will close with the hymn 195, I Have Found the Glorious Gospel. 195.
I'd like to support my brother's words in my prayer. This is the beginning of our reunion. I know our spirit's here. You could see the concerns on your faces, the desires. And the Lord knows what's in your hearts. And I have faith, believing along with you, that He will work on the path to answer those prayers. But you must go to your secret closets and cry unto Him. Not just pray, but cry unto Him. In faith, believing for your answers that may come in due time. We come from all walks of life. This is so neat that it just isn't one congregation, but it's all of us in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it's a group meeting of thoughts that support each other in our prayers for the things that we wish to have of our life and together as a body. Please support me as we pray to our Heavenly Father. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we first would like to say thank you. Thank you so very much to provide the way to attend our reunion. Even at times that maybe we had doubt, we had the faith and desire to do it for some cause, some reason, some desire that only you know. And oh God, in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, I would ask that you'd sanctify this grounds to protect us here and amongst ourselves from those mean elements that's out there, and give us the faith that those things will work out, and that we may take those things to our homes and our abodes and sanctify our homes and pray for thy protection so the destroyer will pass us by. Oh God, I pray for this reunion for the little families. Be with the mothers and the fathers that might tire in this heat, the children that may tire from the heat. May there be a bonding there and love that might be peace and understanding between the two. May our weather and ahead protect and watch over us and make it bearable to exist on the grounds. For we are living out of our elements. We live in a day of technology. So for some of us, this is really a challenge. But we know with our faith and believing, you will help us so that we can wake up in the morning with joy on our faces and have an experience that can be there that only we and you can share together. Be with us now. We love thee, our Heavenly Father. We thank thee so much for our life that you have allowed us to live upon this earth, even of those that may be passed on that we love so much. But we know it's a desire for you, for us to have the advantage, to work out our probation. Help us to work that, so that we may find our way back to thy presence and thy holy kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.